Hi, everybody. You are on the Bobby D'Souza Show. And today I am privileged and delighted to have Simarjeet Singh. Simarjeet, how are you doing?
Hello, Bobby. I'm doing great, and it is a pleasure to be on your podcast. Let me appreciate the work that you've been doing, especially during the lockdown. I see a lot of wonderful videos, thoughts, quotations, and other stuff that you're putting out there on social media, and you've been doing a great job, and I look forward to an exciting discussion today on your podcast.
Wonderful, wonderful. So, Simarjeet, before we move forward, for everybody's knowledge, and Simarjeet is a person who does not need any introduction, but formally, Simarjeet Singh is a motivational speaker, he's a virtual keynote speaker, he's a mindset coach, and he does a lot of keynote speeches on innovation, leadership, growth, and culture. You know, he inspires a lot of people in India, but he's also really, really known inspiring the world. For example, he's doing a lot of work in Dubai, Middle East, Asia Pacific, USA, and the UK. What is very interesting thing that all of us should know that Simarjeet Singh has a million subscribers on YouTube and 45 million views on YouTube alone. Simarjeet Singh, congratulations. I'm so delighted.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Bobby. And we've just also launched the the US page on our website. So I've done about three keynote speeches on the US soil over the last few years. And now we're doing a lot of virtual engagements. So we are reaching out to that part of the world as well. And so yes, the journey all started back in 2007 when I picked up my bags and just left the UK, left my job and left my career track, you know, in the hospitality industry to start all over once again. You know, I call it the reboot, pressing the reboot button of my life. You know, when your computer is struck and you want to hit control alt L and hoping that something, some miracle will take place. So 2007 was that year for me. And it's been an interesting journey over the years. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's beyond interesting. It is outrageously beautiful. that's the word, because, you know, and for everybody who's, checking out this video or listening to the podcast, Simarjeet Singh as a person and a friend I've known for quite a number of years. And he's also been instrumental in being a sort of a guide to me. And he's given me a lot of direction in a lot of simplicity. So Simarjeet Singh, once again, welcome to the show. And it is a pleasure once again.
Pleasure is all mine, Bobby. And, you know, as far as you say about mentoring, I consider it my duty, you know, that if you achieve some degree of expertise, if you have some pieces of information that could help others, I think it's our chief duty and responsibility to share it with others. In fact, we created a whole playlist of videos available on our YouTube channel as well, which is called hashtag mentoring motivational speakers, done in a Q&A format that was all to help young, emerging, or even established speakers who want to do this as a full-time thing to find their niche in the market. Yes.
Wonderful, wonderful. So the topic of discussion today is knocked down but not knocked out. Now, Simarjeet, would you be happy to share, you know, one instance where you were knocked down in life and how were you able to overcome it?
I congratulate you on selecting a very powerful title. I'm reminded of a quotation by Confucius, the famous Chinese philosopher, who said, "Our greatest glory in life is not in never falling. Our greatest glory in life is not in never falling, but it is in rising every time we fall." And I look at this this rise and fall as part of the two sides of the same coin, which means that the valleys and the peaks are what makes the journey interesting. So yes, to answer your question, that there's been many instances that, you know, I've had that you put in a lot of effort, that you have high expectations, that you are expecting the positive outcome, but somehow things don't work out for you. And if you look at it in hindsight, I think that is some of the biggest blessings in my life. That's how they arrived. So if you, let me take the example when I was in the US in the year 2001, after graduating from the Sydney Hotel School, my first job was with Marriott International, and we went to one of their prestigious resorts in Scottsdale, Arizona, which is now the JW Marriott Camelback Inn. And, you know, everything a 21-year-old or 20-year-old, I think I turned 21 in Arizona, so everything a 20-year-old can expect for his career, you know, was happening for me. It was a wonderful life. It was a great start to my career, and great friends, great place to be in, a great company culture. Arizona is always sunny and bright, nice place to live in. And so, you know, everything you could dream for. And then one phone call changes it all. One phone call there. So we were out somewhere, and then I saw three messages on my phone. And my sister left a message saying, "Dad's not well, call back home immediately."
Oh.
You know, and she sounded very worried. So when I called back, I got to know my dad, who had just retired. He was 61. So the retirement for him happened at 60. He just had turned 61 and was building his dream home, you know, post-retirement. And he had been diagnosed with a terminal cancer, stomach cancer. And things suddenly came to a halt for me, you know, and a 20-year-old does not know how to process this sort of thing, something that you take for granted. You know, you don't anticipate your healthy father is going to have cancer and that he will have only a few months and he's going to go through chemotherapy and radiation and surgeries, and there's going to be, so what seemed like a very exciting trajectory is going to be very uncertain. So I made 3 or 4 trips back during the next 4 month period, 4 or 5 month period. He had a surgery, and then at other stages, I used to travel back from the US every single time. Then in October, I spoke to one of the young doctors who was looking after him. I said, "Look, you can be honest with me and tell me what are his chances of survival?" So he said, "Well, I would give him maximum 3 to 6 months." And that is when in October 2001, I decided, Bobby, that no more trips back home. I packed up my bags. My HR manager at that time, wonderful lady called Anna Smith, very supportive. And so I packed my bags, without a job, saying goodbye to my career trajectory, which was just taking off. I land back home in my hometown, which is a small town in rural Punjab called Batala, in district Gurdaspur. So my dad was an officer with the Punjab government. So I'm back home. I don't have a job. And I suddenly am coming from this lifestyle to all of a sudden being back home doing nothing, absolutely, except looking after my father. I'm so glad I did it. Okay. But bouncing back from what I considered, so here's what happened next. So I looked after my dad for the next 2 months, completely being with him all the time and doing all the stuff that needed to be done. And then one fine day, I picked up the Daily Tribune in English, which is a magazine we get here in North India, the English newspaper we get in North India. It's called The Tribune. And I see an advertisement for one of the first 5-star properties that was opening in this region, which was the Radisson in Jalandhar. So the owner himself have put out a little advert saying, you know, about his dream and about throwing the doors open to the public and everything. So I just picked up a phone and I called the hotel and I said, "Can I speak to the HR manager?" So they transferred me to the HR manager. I told him who I was. I told him what my qualifications were, what my experience were. And I said, "Look, do you have any opportunities?" So they said, "Sure, come over for an interview." So I go over to an interview to the Radisson Hotel. And as things would happen, as the universe would conspire, I was hired to be a restaurant manager at the tender age of 21. And I look back at it, you know, although financially and in all other ways, it was not going to be the same thing as what I was doing earlier. But if you look back at it, all of my friends were not even supervisors yet. Mm. So I suddenly got maybe a 3-step jump ahead of my peers. Okay. I'm a restaurant manager at 21. Most of my staff are 25, 26. My assistant manager is 32 years old, for God's sake. I'm leading a team of 20. And this is a new property. There was so much learning that happened. So I would say to call anything a major setback in your life would be a harsh word, because hidden inside that punch on the face, hidden inside is the blessing that something new is going to emerge out of this. If you are strong during that phase, if you hold yourself together, if you don't allow yourself to disintegrate, if you keep your optimism and if you keep your balance, and you come out of this rough water or this storm and you come out really, really strong. I think a famous leadership philosopher, this guy Grover Cleveland, he had a beautiful quotation which said, "In calm waters, every ship has a good captain. In calm waters, every ship has a good captain." But I think the effectiveness of our captaincy, of our leadership, is tested during a storm. And those are some of the biggest lessons that I learned from my life. And yes, there's been many other disappointments. And yes, they still arrive, you know. But now I welcome them with a different perspective. I say, hey, you know, this is a push outside the comfort zone and something good is going to emerge out of it.
Wonderful, wonderful. I think I'm just wondering, when somebody has a career in the US, which is like a dream for anybody from India, and suddenly, you know, you are pushed because of a personal situation to come back to India. You know, I was imagining, what were the thoughts going through your mind when you were sitting back in the plane coming back to India? Just wanted to know if you're happy to share. What were the thoughts?
Yeah, the thought was finally relief. Relief, Bobby, to have the opportunity to be back with my dad when he needed me the most. You know, I don't regret it one single bit. So, no questions asked about that. Because when I met him, and there were so many sympathizers, so many other people who would come on a daily basis to see him. And so he said to everybody, thank you, you can all go home now. My son is here to look after me. So I think as a son, that is one of the proudest moments for me ever. As a young 21-year-old, your hormones are raging. You're very ambitious. You want to do something. Yes, there is comparison. You compare yourselves with what your peers are doing. And they're holidaying in Las Vegas, or they're having a road trip to New York or doing other sort of things. Yes, there is resentment at times. Yes, you compare. Yes, you wonder why this had to happen with me. But I think the most important thing you do is you answer that calling. You rise up to the occasion. You do what needs to be done during that time. Yeah, no questions asked about that.
Wonderful. And I think what I'm also realizing is, it's also about your own why, right? You know, why you're doing what you're doing. So you coming back to your own family was highly, highly important, you know, that moment of time. And when something is a priority for us, then we can find a way out. You know? And
absolutely.
From your own story, I think it just shows up, you know, that when something is important, we'll find a way out. Now,
I completely agree with that. Priorities. I usually joke with people. I said, you tell me your top three priorities and I can predict your life. If one of your top three priorities, if a person has number one priority is health and fitness, you would see it in their lifestyle. You would see it in the choices they make. You would see it in how they live their life. So, yes, it's really important for us to know what our priorities are. And I think one of the major reasons why people struggle internally is that they haven't yet clarified the priorities. They're all mixed up. So there's one exciting thing after the other. So they get pulled in multiple directions. And by the time they realize, okay, who am I? What do I stand for? I never took out the time to figure that out. So now I'm going to just be pulled in any direction. So here comes money, I'll run after money. Here comes fame, I'll run after fame. Here comes this, I'll run after this. But if you set your priorities, I think, in life, and if you make some non-negotiables, for me, family has always been a non-negotiable. For me, ethics have been a non-negotiable. For me, some of these things have been non-negotiables. And, you know, it's not about... Let's understand, if this whole, it's not a race. Life is not a race. What are we rushing to? To our own inevitable deaths in the end? Is that what we're rushing to? That's the end destination, right? So it's not a race. It's a journey. It's a journey. And I believe more than any destination, more than any award, more than any other sort of landmark of how many million subscribers or etc., is how did you run this race? Did you enjoy it? Did you have a good time?
Yeah.
Or were you punishing yourself to get to a certain destination? I think these are the small things that make a huge difference for me.
Wonderful, wonderful. Thanks for sharing. What I also picked up from what you said is, if people are knocked down and they know for sure this is important for me, this is the path I need to take, and this is what I want to do, then as a result, people will anyways get up. And I think, you know, that also came out from what you shared. Now, what I also like to ask you is, what is that one suggestion that you would like to give to people right now, you know, during the times of what's happening right now, uncertainties are being, you know, are showing up, and people are losing jobs, and there is a lot of struggles. So right now, if somebody's watching this and they're feeling knocked down, what is that one suggestion that you would give for them to rise up?
Bobby, I'll read this poem that a friend sent me just through a strong coincidence, just an hour before our interview today. An author is an American poet called Douglas Mullock, and his poem goes, his poem's titled, "Be the Best of Whatever You Are." Be the best of whatever you are. And that's my answer to your question. That's my tip to the viewers during this tough time. Be the best of whatever you are by Douglas Mullock. It goes something like this. If you can't be a pine on the top of the hill, if you can't be a pine on the top of the hill, be a scrub in the valley, but be the best little scrub by the side of the hill. If you can't be a pine on top of the tree, be a scrub in the valley, but be the best little scrub by the side of the hill. Be a bush if you can't be a tree. If you can't be a highway, then just be a trail. If you can't be the sun, be a star. It isn't by size that you win or you fail. Be the best of whatever you are. Wow. It isn't by size that you win or you fail. Be the best of whatever you are. It's not about size. It's not about, X person has this much influence and, you know, so which means if I don't have influence, I can't positively impact someone's life. Do the best you can. Be the best of whatever you can be during this point of time. Help someone. Even if you can bring a smile on one person's face, Bobby, your day is made. Your job is done, right? And then it's a ripple effect. It's a ripple effect. Imagine if you were able to inspire one person today, if you were able to change the perspective of one person today, that one person is going to have an impact on so many others. And this is how we underrate and undervalue the impact of small actions.
That's right.
We, most of us, are holding back our brilliance in this false assumption that I must do something really big in order to make a difference. And that's nonsense. That's complete, utter nonsense. What if that day never arrives?
Kidding.
We are here now. Look at yourself and the act of initiative today. You picked up the phone, you sent an email, said, okay, I want to do this. And here we are today having this conversation.
Absolutely.
That's one act of initiative. And you know, this, you will spread it out to so many others. And it's, we must take initiative. We must not underestimate our God-given potential. That's my message to the audience. Don't underestimate the potential that is within you to make a positive difference in the world. And don't sit around waiting for you to do something big. I think it was Mother Teresa, I think it was Helen Keller, she said, my desire is to do big things, but it is my chief duty to do the small things with great love.
Wow.
It is my chief duty to do small things with great love. If we can all understand and apply that, I think the world will be a better place.
Wonderful, wonderful. While you were speaking, I'm reminded of this quote by E.D. Jakes. And he says that do the best you can with the least you have, or with whatever you have, the best
right.
that you can do. And
what
you're saying is absolutely right. As in, you know, in times when people feel knocked down, a good question like you sharing is, can they do the best they can with whatever they have? Correct?
Right.
Wonderful, wonderful. Now, I had this one question, and we've seen this as an experience a lot of time. So the question is, why do people get knocked down even though they might have done the right thing? You know, sometimes people are putting in a lot of hard work, they're doing things, but somehow they are seeing failure after failure after failure. So what do you think would be the reason?
First thing, we need to stop calling it a failure. It is not a failure. Failure is a very strong term. It's sort of a passing a judgment that, okay, you know, this is final. It's never final. It's a test. That's what it is. It's a test. It's a test. The universe wants to test. Are you capable enough for the success that you want? Have you learned everything you need before you get the success that you want? Have your ethics and your values become strong before you get the success that you're asking for? Do you have the knowledge, the expertise, the mindset before you acquire everything that you want to acquire? So I wouldn't use the word failure, Bobby, personally. I would use the word test. It's a test, just like the ones we used to have back in school. It's a test. And time is never the same. Two days are never the same. It's constantly changing, constantly evolving. People who have given up hope right now in the lockdown, let me tell you, the world is not going to be like this. If you're a young person and you just started a venture and all of a sudden you feel there's no customers due to the lockdown, have faith, you know, it is going to change. It will take time, but it will come back to normal. The world is going to come back to normal even stronger than we were before. Mm. We didn't have all this. Look at how these wireless technology and these remote conferences have flourished in the last couple of months. Mm. People who never talked to each other before are now doing podcasts and Zoom conferences and so many other things before. Look at how education has quickly evolved to the online model.
That's right.
Look at how so many industries have quickly adapted. Look at how the environment has quickly improved during the lockdown. So there are so many blessings, there are so many teachings, but you have to answer your question, why do hurdles come? Because in our path of persistence, when we are moving forward towards a goal, why do we have to face hurdles and setbacks? And my answer is this: you're going to enjoy the outcome even more. Mm. You're going to treasure it, you're going to value it, because you didn't get it easy. If you get it easy, you don't value it. You give a brand new iPad, latest edition, to a kid without the kid has never worked in his life, and you will see he's going to throw it around and he's not going to look after that gadget. You give the same gadget to someone who had to wait for 3 or 4 years or had to really beg his mom and dad for it, and he's going to value his device entirely differently. We will value what we create if we go through these tests. That's number one. Number two is that you've got to love the game. If you don't love the game, let's say you got into a game only for money or fame or something, okay? And the first setback you face, you can say, okay, fine, I'm not making money here, let me explore an alternative, right? I started motivational speaking, but it didn't work out, I'm not making the money I want to, let me go into real estate now. And let me go into, I should open a little restaurant now, because the motivation was money. So money disappears, I look for other revenues, right? And that's when you lose, because some of these things, some of the major goals of your life are going to be lifelong commitments. If you leave them midway, you've left a dream midway. So you've got to love the game. And once you love the game, you will not view this as a failure. You've got to enjoy the process. I always say this, you know, outcomes are fine. I love outcomes. I love great outcomes. I want that if I create a YouTube video, I want it to be a viral video. I want, if I create an online learning program, I want it to be a global sensation. Who doesn't want good? We all love good outcomes. But the thing is, if you enjoy the process, you will be able to detach from the outcome. Say, okay, my last one didn't work out. We put a lot of effort into a YouTube video. We had high expectations. Fizzled out. No views. You know, people didn't like it. I could still sit and cry about it, and I could, you know, whine about it, and I could complain about, how unfair and blah, 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 and why is this person getting more views, and say, I could take that path. Mm-hmm. But the second path I could take is, I love the game. Mm-hmm. A famous actor was once asked, why do you act? And she replied, because that's who I am. I act because that's who I am. So for me, the motivation is not my video doing well or my external, receiving appreciation from other people. For me, the joy is I love the game.
Yeah.
I love to be back here, be among people, be on, in front of a video camera or in front of a live audience. Or I hope that happens soon for us speakers, right? Mm-hmm. So yes. To be in front of a live audience and to do what we do best to inspire people. But until that happens, we've got alternative sort of, mediums to do that. So I do it because I love it. And therefore, there is no setback that could turn me off from this path. I'd be back again the next day,
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful. I'm connecting the two aspects that you shared at the start. You spoke about you came all the way, left your biggest goal, dream basically at that moment of time, came back to India for the love of your family. And even over here, you're saying that it is not just about the money, because if it was money and if money got delayed, then you could have just said, let me start something else. But because you love the game, and I see that persistent passion of doing something, when you're very excited about doing something, then even if you are falling down, it's part of the package. It's part of the game.
Mm-hmm. Right. Absolutely.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Now, Simarjeet, there are people who are right now possibly going through a situation wherein they are feeling like, you know, I've lost it. I don't know what the future is. I don't know what's going to happen. It is not going to work for me. You know, let's say somebody's going through this. What is that one thought that you could give them that could help them to possibly, you know, come out of it right now emotionally?
Well, two or three things. Number one is get perspective. Get a better perspective. What I mean by this is, it's the old story goes, one of the famous sculptors, he spent years creating one of the beautiful sculptures of the Renaissance, and he brought in the person who was paying for it, the mayor of the city. So the mayor of the city came in and he said, well, I don't really like what you've created, right? And this guy was so proud of what he had done. And now all of a sudden, the person who's commissioned that work, who's paying for it, didn't like it. So, but he realized quickly that this guy was standing in the wrong spot. So what he did, he gently nudged him to move a little bit backwards so he could now see the sculpture from his perspective, from where he was standing. And the guy said, wow, okay, it looks much better now. And the same with our lives. Sometimes we're so caught up with this narrow frame of reference that we think that, I am the one who's suffering the most. I am the one, and life has been most unfair to me, you know, and things are never working out for me. Those sort of blanket statements. But when you look at somebody on the roadside, let's be mindful of the fact, Bobby, that we live in India, and our country has gone through a lot of hardship in the last couple of months after the lockdown happened. But there were so many sites, so many videos, so much that came forward of the human spirit. When you see that 15-year-old girl who's riding a bike all the way from Gurgaon to her native village in Bihar, that's more than 2,000 kilometers, and her old father riding behind, and you see the human spirit, the strength of human spirit. When I wake up in the morning and I see this old Sardarji in the fields outside my house, 80-year-old man up at 6 a.m., you know, irrigating his field and watering his crop, I see the human spirit. I get a perspective and I feel like, man, your complaints are not justified. You're sitting here inside an air-conditioned room with access to a MacBook Pro, and all the tools that you could ask for, and you are complaining about life. You know, you have food to eat, you have a roof over your head, you got everything you need, and so shut up and get back to work and make something happen. You know, use the tools and resources and stop complaining. It's that shift of energy we need, you know. And so number one is perspective. Get perspective, move back a little, and don't think you are the biggest sufferer. There's so much going on. There's so many other people going through way bigger challenges than we are in right now. Look at them and seek inspiration from them. That's number one. Number two would be have faith. Things don't always remain the same. Time changes, right? If from what was happening pre-COVID-19 into your life to what might be happening now, imagine this is going to be a story to tell your grandkids or something, you know, a few years down the line. So time is going to change. But how you play the game during this time, did you lose your nerve, or were you able to play this game as a balanced individual at this point of time? So I say this is the best time to execute and make things happen which you didn't have the time to do before. If your mindset is positive, there is so much more that you can do right now. Get the stuff moving. You didn't have a website before, go build it now. You didn't have a digital presence before, go do it now. You didn't have an online tribe before, go do it now. Your book was unfinished, you need to finish off the last few chapters, go write it now. Make stuff happen. But if you have the time and you have the resources, you've got food to eat, you've got a place to sit down and write, do it. So, because what will happen is if you allow this opportunity to slip away, you're going to regret it a few years later. So don't let that happen. One of the most toxic emotions in our lives is regret. I wish I had the courage to lead a life true to myself. So said Bronnie Ware, the author of Five Regrets of Dying People. She researched people, asked them, on their deathbed, what is your number one regret in life? The number one was, I wish I had the courage to lead a life true to myself and not what other people expected from me. So let go of fear, allow in faith, and move forward with confidence and faith into the direction of your goals. And time is not going to remain the same. Things will change. Humans are still on this planet. We haven't disappeared. Consumers are still here. Corporations are still here. It's just a time everybody's lying a little low to take care of, you know, so that this thing passes away. Things will return back to normal. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing. You know, Simar, I was saying that when you were talking about what you were talking, I remember when I was writing the book Fallen to Rise, and you, of course, heard a little about the book. When I was writing Fallen to Rise, I actually had people who told me that, you know, who's going to read your book? Or when I started writing some chapters, after some time, I felt, you know, I will not be able to complete it. But I'm so glad that I persisted, pushed myself beyond the self-doubt and beyond the words that people said. And I'm glad I completed it. And like you were saying earlier, you could start. Thank you so much, Simar. You could have big goals, but at the end of it, it's important for you to, you know, that every day, that consistent steps that you take are very vital. Right. And it is so true.
Writing a book is very, very hard, Bobby. It's very hard to write a book. The consistency required to finish what you start, to complete that paragraph, questions to you on that.
Thank you, Simarjit. So there's this one question that I had for you is, because I've known you, I've seen your good work, one quality that I've seen that I really admire about you is consistency. How do you think you stay consistent when you're knocked down, when you're not getting the results, when things don't just work for you? How do you stay consistent? Because that's something that is not the easiest.
So my answer to that, Bobby, is you build a team. You build a team. Even though those people might not be working with you under the same roof, you build a team of freelancers or supporters, but you can't do it all yourself. That's my answer to your question on consistency, on creating consistent output. You've got to delegate, you've got to train other people, you've got to allow them what they do best so that you can focus on what you do best. So if you're trying to make everything happen independently all by yourself, that is one of the biggest mistakes anyone could do on this path of achieving their dreams. So it's really important to build a good team, people that you trust, people that you've trained, people that you can count on, so that when you're feeling low, when you're going through a little rough patch, you still got other players in the game to do what needs to be done for your enterprise or for your goals. And yes, you know, we're not robots, we're humans, we're going to go through challenging times, we're going to go through emotions of not feeling our best. And on those days, just take a break, just rest, just cook, sleep, watch a nice movie, do something, do nothing. You know that we need to repair ourselves, we need to rejuvenate, and we need to rest. And in the meanwhile, have a team who can still focus and execute on the goals that are important to your group, to your team. And because there's this famous poem called the Don't Quit poem, which goes something like this. Couple of lines I'd like to share, which goes something like this. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, when you want to smile but you have to sigh, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Rest if you must, but don't you quit. So I rest a lot. I look after myself. I take that time off. I take that couple of days off if I have to. And so because you have to understand that if you don't want to burn out, you don't want to push yourself so hard that you burn out. You know, we all have a gift, and it is our duty to replenish ourselves so that we present our best forward to the world, right? So the answer to your question of remaining consistent is that you build a team who are able to execute even when you are taking a break to replenish yourself.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing the information. Now, you mentioned about people, you know, possibly who are doing business, who are solopreneurs, who are freelancers, or who run an organization, small or large or medium sized. What about those people who are students or people who are working in an organization? They're an employee. When they feel knocked down, but at the same time, the Monday morning, the manager is going to call you up and is going to give you 10 tasks that you have to do. The escalation query with the client is still going to still be there. How would they handle the situation? Because they can't just take off, right? What is your suggestion for people who are working in a company or who are students?
Bobby, I don't particularly like bosses who don't give time off to their teams. So that's, but jokes apart, even if you're working for a company or you're working for someone else. Now let's talk about students first. You brought up students. So for students, I would say have friends who can encourage you. Just yesterday, I recited a poem in Urdu, in Hindi and Urdu on video, and it went viral, you know, in a day. Wow. A couple of lines from that one is ki doston se vaasta rakha karo janab. अच्छे दोस्तों से वास्ता रखा करो जनाब, ये वो हकीम होते हैं जो अल्फाजों से ही इलाज कर दिया करते हैं. अल्फाज मींस वर्ड्स, हकीम इज अ डॉक्टर. ये वो हकीम होते हैं जो अल्फाजों से ही इलाज कर दिया करते हैं. सो यू आर गोना हैव, यू नो, यू माइट हैव अ मेंटर, अ फ्रेंड, अ सीनियर और समवन इन कॉलेज हु कुड पेप यू अप, एंड यू नो दैट्स सॉर्ट ऑफ द पर्सन यू नीड टू टॉक टू. एंड देन वेरी इंपॉर्टेंट इज सेल्फ हीलिंग. Your ability to self-heal, which means you create a mechanism. Let's say if you're a sports person, Bobby, and you have an injury, right? So you're going to change your diet a little bit to allow you to recover, right? Yes. You probably go to the physiotherapist and you'll have some exercises. But you can't just sit there and complain, oh my God, look, I was such a good player and now I'm hurt. Why doesn't nobody in the world cares about me? And you can't complain, you can't whine. People will say, oh my God, what kind of a player are you? What kind of a champion are you, right? You're sitting there whining. So what do? You start the new diet, you start those exercises, and you start seeing the physiotherapist, and you live in the faith that I'm going to be back in the game soon, right? So create a self-healing mechanism. Books, music, spirituality, prayer, exercise, meditation, gardening, cooking, talking to your girlfriend, talking to your best friend, talking to your mentor, talking to yourself, watching a good movie. You've got to have a mechanism that says, fine, I feel your pain, and now it's time to repair and get back into the game. So we all have triggers, you know. You could have that particular music track that, say, you know, peps you up. You have a cup of coffee that could pep you up. You could have a conversation with a good friend that could pep you up. You could have a good book and you read and the words hit you like a ton of bricks every time you read it, and that could pep you up. So find out what gets you going, and then learn to self-heal. It's really, really important. Don't wait for someone to come and rescue you. That will be my closing remark. Don't wait for someone to come and rescue you. Learn to rescue yourself, because guess what? No one's coming. No one's coming to rescue you. You can sit there, complain, lay in that ditch in the darkness, and no one's going to come and rescue you. But if you decide to crawl out of that ditch and see the light that is there, and then you can help other people do that. So don't wait for others to come and rescue you. Learn to rescue yourself.
I really like the thought wherein you said, you know, having a group of trusted friends around you, whether you're working for an organization, whether you're a student, but having a trusted group of friends will really, really help in times of difficulties. And I love the poetry that you shared. In fact, what we will do is, and for all our viewers, we will put the video links of that video, which is going viral, in the comment section so others can see. But Simarjeet, if anybody wants to reach out to you, if they want to listen to your podcast, your work, and you are doing a phenomenal work already, where should they reach you?
I think, Bobby, with the central resources of our website, which is www.simarjeetsingh.com, spelled as SimarjeetSingh.com. That's the central resource. Our YouTube channel is youtube.com/SimarjeetSingh. And as well as all the podcasts and everything are connected. We are on Spotify and Apple Music and all other platforms, as well as YouTube. As well as we do a monthly or even bi-weekly Facebook Live video, as well as on Insta and all the other places. So yeah, it should. If you have the desire, we are easy to find in the cyberspace.
Absolutely, absolutely. It was a pleasure having a discussion with you, Simarjeet. Thank you so much for your time.
You are most welcome, Bobby. I thoroughly enjoyed having this conversation today myself.
Thank you so much. You have a great day. See ya.
You too. Take care. Bye-bye.